And I'm just going to move my pulpit here a little bit closer to the front. I just feel so far away. Oh, you're good, Alicia. Alicia, you know I would never, ever allow you to help me with the pulpit. Chivalry would not allow it, you know. Oh, she was going for the water in case I spilled the water. Praise the Lord. Is it good to be in church here tonight, everybody? Amen. Well, praise God. Well, we're just going to, there's some things here, you know, that I have, you know, prepared. There's things stirring in my heart. It was very odd. I knew there was going to be something different, you know, regarding this service. I knew it all day today, but there are some things that we are to share. There's no way I'm going to get to all of it. But let's just jump into the Word here for a little bit. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He was a healer then, He's a healer now. Amen. You know, praise God. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Go over to Proverbs chapter 3. And today I released a text message called How to Have Wisdom, Long Life, and Provision. Well, we're going to see just how much of that we actually get to. Some of you are still just waking up from what the Holy Ghost was doing in our midst. He's so good. Amen. God loves people. You know, God's trying to get to us. He's trying to, you know, move His best, His blessing into our lives. That's why He would lead us to lay hands for healing. You know, that's why He would, you know, show me someone who, you know, or a few somebodies who were dealing with, you know, maybe acute pain in their body. How many of you know the Lord wants to move on our behalf? He wants to help us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start right here in the very first verse. I've been spending a lot of time just in the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. And I love this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. If you will get a hold of it and really dig into what it's saying, it will absolutely change your life. But let's talk about some wisdom, shall we? Amen. Let's start right there in verse 1. I'm not going to read all the verses and then go back. We're just going to teach as we go here. Just get right to it. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you." Let's talk a little bit about what it means to have a wise heart. Let's talk a little bit about what wisdom is, because in wisdom is everything that you and I need. Amen. God has wisdom in store for us, and we've got to know what wisdom does. You know, the thing that just keeps, and I believe this might be the only portion of this message that we actually get to here tonight, but I just keep hearing, you know, the leading of the Lord is saying, you know, over and over to me, the obedient heart, the obedient heart, the obedient heart. And I know I'm preaching to a group of folks that are here on a Wednesday. You actually, you know, are in church, you know, twice this week, right? And so I'm preaching to the choir, but this is something that we've got to get a hold of, because ultimately these tests and trials, they're after our obedience. They really want to get us away from obeying God. And really what endurance is, this past Sunday I was preaching on powerful endurance, and we're in the enduring phase of faith. You know, there is an endurance phase of faith. Amen. How many of you know not every phase of faith always feels great on your flesh? There is an endurance side to it. There is a patience side, which the Bible definition of patience is cheerful endurance. You say, "Well, Pastor, it doesn't feel cheerful." That's exactly why the Bible says it's cheerful endurance, because we get to go ahead and participate with God beyond our emotions, beyond our feelings. If you're waiting for emotions to tell you what to believe, what to rejoice for, then I'll tell you what, then we're just going to be up and down with the emotions. Your emotions will change like the weather. Have you realized that? You know, in the emotional realm, there's up days. In the emotional realm, there's down days. In the emotional realm, there's medium days. And then there's days that are up days, down days, back up again, and back in the medium again, all in the same day. How many of you know emotions can try to take you everywhere? And it's not that emotions are necessarily wrong. You know, we know that we have them. You know, praise God, you know, for the positive side, the emotional side. And sometimes, you know, we can't help but feel the negative side of emotion. But I'm here to tell you, we are not supposed to be dominated by them. We're not supposed to be led by them. You know, with Christ, when our confidence is in the Lord, there should be something about us that is so stable that we're not moved. You know, the Bible says over there, where is that? Psalm 55:22. He says, I will not suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, and I'll tell you what, if we're going to be moved, it's going to start with our emotions, right? And so anyway, you know, this is just something that just keeps coming to me, that wisdom is the obedient heart. To have a wise heart is to have an obedient heart. You know, look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law or my instructions, but let your heart keep my commandments. First of all, wisdom is the practice of always obeying the right thing. Wisdom is the practice of always obeying the right thing. And I'm here to tell you, and the word is actually here to tell you, that with all you're getting, get wisdom. With everything you pursue in this life. You know what? I wasn't even planning on doing this. Go down to verse 13. Go down to Proverbs 3:13. It says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto wisdom. Length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in wisdom's left hand is riches and honor. Wisdom's ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are paths of peace. I'll tell you what. We need to find this wisdom, because that seems to describe everything that we need in this life. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is the practice of obedience to the right thing. Amen. I'm just going to share some of my meditations with you. Is that all right? I know I just there's really not a whole lot of rhyme or reason to my notes here. I was just writing things down as I believe, you know, the Spirit of God was giving me these things. Obviously, we get them from the Word. Wisdom is the ability to value the one thing that most decide not to value. That's what we are as Christians. We've decided to value the thing that most of the world ignores. We have decided to value the Word of God. We've decided to value Him. You know, think about percentage, you know, wise. How many born-again believers are there in this world versus non-born-again, you know, people? I'll tell you what. You know, Jesus said this. He said, narrow is the gate, you know, that leads to salvation, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. He said, there be few that find the narrow gate, but many will find the broad way to destruction. So percentage-wise, we are deciding to value the thing that the majority of people have decided not to value. The wise heart is the one or the person that can see that it is more costly, more detrimental to your life to disobey God than to obey Him. See, the world believes that it's hard to obey God. Folks, I'm here to tell you, it's hard not to obey God. Meaning, life gets way harder when you don't obey the Lord. You know, I've heard so many people, you know, over the years that say, oh, I just can't do that. It's hard to get up on Sunday and go to church. It's hard to follow, you know, the Bible. It's hard, you know, to obey those things. It's hard to tithe. It's hard to serve. It's hard to do this. No. I'm here to tell you, life without the grace of God is absolutely miserable. Life following the Lord, following the grace of God, is when life is good. Folks, I don't know about you. And when I say this, I don't say it with any arrogance. I'm not even saying it, you know, about me specifically. I'm saying it about, you know, all of us, you know, believers, not even just this church. I'm just talking about Christians in general. If we're walking with the Lord, have you taken a look at this world without the Lord? Have you seen the misery that is on people? Have you seen in our own community the drug addiction, the misery, the sadness? Have you seen, you know, people who are so distressed in life? Folks, you know, I'm turning 46 here in a few weeks, and that will mark literally, I've spent 23 years following Jesus and 23 years before that not following the Lord, okay? And so literally I'm coming up right up to that point here in just a little while where I will finally go over the point where I've spent more days on this earth following Jesus versus days not following Jesus. And I can tell you what, the days of following Jesus have been way better, way happier, way healthier, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. The only time I was miserable, I've never been miserable as a Christian. Say, what, Pastor? No, I'm not saying I never went through a trial. I'm just saying I've never been miserable. Not like the world is going through. I've never seen misery. You know, I've never seen that kind of hopelessness. I've never had that hopelessness as a Christian. Neither have you. They say, well, Pastor, I've gone through hard times as a Christian. No. I'm not saying you didn't go through a hard time as a Christian. I'm just saying you have never gone through the level of hopelessness and despair that the world without Christ goes through. Listen, living this life without the grace of God, now that's hard. That's difficult. That's punishing. When wisdom gets into your heart, you'll realize it's worse. The cost of following Christ is actually less than the cost of following the devil. You know what I mean? Following the devil is what's hard. Following the devil is what's going to get your life, you know, busted and disgusted and miserable and hard and all that. Believe me, you know, we say it all the time. Challenges come to everybody. Challenges, you know, come to Christians. We're not, you know, hiding from challenges. But I'm here to tell you, facing a challenge with Jesus in your corner versus not, there's a big difference. The wise ones, they see that it is better to follow God. You know, the cost of following Christ is actually less than the cost of remaining in the devil's kingdom. Absolutely. Amen. The most value is found in obeying him. Some people, they think we're the stupid ones. They think we're the stupid ones. You're in church, you're tithing, you're serving, you're in church twice a week. They think we're stupid for doing this. We think they're stupid for not doing it. And we're the right ones. And we say that tongue in cheek. We're not insulting anybody. Praise the Lord. Look at this verse. Look it back up there at Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Have an obedient heart to keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they what? Add to you. Isn't it good to know the wise heart says God is adding through his word. This word is not taking anything from my life, meaning it's not subtracting. It's not making me miserable. It's adding long and happy days. Amen. What does the Bible say over there? Where is that? 1 Peter 3:10. Who will love life and see good days? Let him refrain his lips that he speaks no evil and his tongue that it speaks no guile. It's one of those ways. Either his lips are speaking no evil or his tongue speaks no guile or the other way around. You got it, right? But it says, who will love life and see many good days? God wants you to see good days. I'll tell you what, we will see far more many, you know, good days as Christians than the world without Christ will ever see. I don't believe one day without Christ, there's no good days without Jesus. Amen. But the wise will know that he is adding to our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We that have a wise heart, we know that there's something in us that we just cannot ignore obeying him. You know what I mean by that? When I say this about reverent fear. It terrifies me not to obey God. It terrifies me not to obey God. You know what I mean by that? I don't mean, you know, God's trying to strike terror in your heart. You know, I'm just talking about a reverential fear of God. You know, I don't know about you, I cannot act like this doesn't exist. You know what I mean by that? There is a lot of Christians who want to get born again. They want to be saved. They want to go to heaven someday, but they live like this doesn't exist. It's like they want the convenient side of salvation, but they don't want to know too much from the Bible because they don't want to be accountable, but they don't realize it's shying away from the Word of God, which is going to hurt them. But receiving it with joy, with a faithful heart, with an obedient heart, that's going to add long life to you. That's going to add peace to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I look at the world without Jesus. That's a mess. And when I say this, I don't say it in any arrogance at all. You can say this too. My life isn't. My life isn't. My life isn't a mess. My life hasn't been a mess for 23 years. And say, oh my goodness, Pastor, that sounds so arrogant. No, I'm just saying that kind of almost proverbially. But it's also true. Say, well, Pastor, you haven't gone through a hard time in 23 years. We don't need to talk about that, right? All of us have gone through, you know, hardships and things like that. I'm just saying, compared to the world, my life has not been a mess serving Jesus. I was a mess without him. Yes. Amen. That's when life was a mess. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, the people who don't need Jesus, you know, that don't have Jesus, they need to see those of us that have Christ. They need to see lives that aren't a mess. That doesn't mean lives that were without challenges. There's a difference. There's a difference between facing a challenge and then having our life become an absolute mess. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wisdom tells me that nobody ever sat on their deathbed wishing they would have done less for Jesus. Amen. Obedience is what keeps us from having regrets. Obedience is what keeps us from having regrets. I've seen a lot of people who are just teetering on the edge, you know, with regret. Folks, again, when I say this, oh goodness, it's not arrogance. It's not me boasting in myself. It's boasting in the Lord. I'm here to tell you, I have zero regrets. Zero. But Pastor, what about the life that you had before Jesus? There was a lot of bad things. That's under the blood. Jesus took those regrets. He washed all that away. I don't have, as far as God's concerned, I didn't exist before that moment in January of 2002 when I got down on my knees and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I went over that line. I never went back. God doesn't even see anything before that. And so for 23 years, I've been alive in Christ and I don't have any regrets. You say, well, Pastor, isn't there something that maybe you could have done better? Well, of course. I think all of us would say that. You would say that. But I don't regret and condemn myself because this is the liberty of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that the blood has washed you from that. Even as a Christian, if you made a mistake, if you will confess your sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you made the worst mistake of your life today as a Christian, guess what? It could be completely washed. It'll be completely gone, not only before this service is over, right? But in just a few moments, it can be washed forever. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. Wisdom tells me to look at what everyone in the world is valuing and value the complete opposite. The world is just in love with social media. Doesn't mean that all social media is wrong. You know, the world is in love with entertainment. The world is in love with all this stuff. Folks, yeah, well, Lord, help me to say that. You know, it's real easy these days. If we're not careful, the Christian church is starting more and more to look just like the world. That doesn't mean we can't have cell phones. It doesn't mean you can't have a TV in your house. It doesn't mean that you can't have appropriate entertainment. But I'll tell you what, the Christian church is becoming more and more obsessed with the same stuff that the world is being obsessed with. We are addicted to our phones as much as the world is. We're addicted to their entertainment as much as the world is. Where all of a sudden the Christian church is doing as much scrolling, you know, on their devices, and all of a sudden the church is distracted, the church isn't in here, the church isn't meditating in the Word, the church isn't renewing their mind, and all of a sudden not only do we look like the world, we act like the world. Wisdom is the ability to find the value in sacred things. We need to find the value in sacred things. The obedient heart is tender towards God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. The obedient heart is urgent to obey God. Are you urgent to obey God? Can't go without it. You know, if I know there's something that I'm supposed to be doing for God and I'm not doing it, it bothers me. It hurts. You ever been there before? You ever try to, like, you know, the Spirit of God's trying to tell you to do something or to get rid of something or do something different, but in your mind, you really want to keep doing that? And you try to reason it away, but on the inside, it just feels like every day someone punched you in your gut. That's the Holy Ghost. That's godly sorrow. You know, I'll tell you what, there's nothing more refreshing than getting the burden of disobedience off your back. Amen. Praise the Lord. The obedient heart is urgent to obey God. The obedient heart cannot rest without obeying God. Do you know what I mean by that? If you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I know what that means. Well, okay. God wants to develop this obedient heart in you. Why does God give us instructions like go to church? Why does God give us instructions like tithe? Why does God give us instructions like, you know, praise and worship and serve and forgive? Why do we get all these instructions of these things that become almost routine week in and week out? Isn't there a lot of routine to church? A lot of routine. You know, let's be honest about it. A lot of church services, not just in this church, but just all across the body of Christ, a lot of them would look very similar. All right, a lot of routine, you know. But why does God give us those routine instructions? Why does he tell us to tithe week in and week out and to go to church and all that? He wants us to have that routine of obedience. That week in and week out obedience is teaching us to have an obedient heart. Folks, where is long life? Long life is not a result of you crying out to live to a certain age. Long life is not about getting to a certain number. Long life is about getting to the point where you have finished your course, finished your race, and there's no more for you to obey here on this earth. That's what long life is. Long life is when the Lord can say, remember when Paul said that in 2 Timothy? He said, I have finished my course. I have finished my race, right? He said there was no more for him to do. Do you know 2 Timothy was written about 3 days before they beheaded Paul the apostle? He said, I'm about to be poured out like a drink offering. Remember when he said that? He knew his days were almost up. He said, I have finished. I fought the good fight of faith. I've ran my course, meaning there's nothing left on this earth to obey. His course was finished. There was no more assignment for him to do. You know, how many of you know they could not kill Jesus until he laid down his life? Remember that? Remember when they tried to kill him before that. But you cannot kill the one who is faithful, who is obedient, and still has works left to do on this earth. It's very tragic for a Christian to leave this earth before their works are done. It is. It's tragic. And, you know, that's what our prayer, our conversation, our sensitivity, you know, to the Holy Ghost should be. Lord, I want a desire to finish all my works here. All my works. And maybe by the time I finish all my works, I'll be 92. Maybe by the time I finish all my works, I'll be 88. You know, whatever it is. A good long life, right? But our goal isn't to get to a number. Our goal is to finish our course. I want to be able to go before God and say, Lord, I finished my course. I did all the works that you prepared in advance for me to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is what the obedient heart will do. The obedient heart will be tender before God. It'll be urgent to obey God. Where is long life? It's found in the obedience. See, we think, well, long life is me claiming by faith a certain number. You know, if I just pick a number that I think is long life, what if your works aren't done yet? What if you say, Lord, I'm believing you for 90. You say, Lord, I'm going to use my faith for 90 strong years on this earth. That sounds pretty good. That sounds very, you know, that sounds real long, and that is a good long life. But what if the works that God has for you, what if he still had something for you to do at 91? You know what I mean? And so many times we pick a number, and it's pretty odd, you know, and it's funny to, you know, to see what some people think is long life. Some people will say, well, 85 is long life. Or some people will say, I want 100. That, you know, it's not long life until it's 100. So notice we all have different numbers. And the goal isn't to be just to get to a number. The goal is to finish our course. Long life is about completing every task that the Lord has for you to do on this earth. And go ahead, look at verse 2. For length of days, long life and peace shall they, the commandments or the instructions of God, add to you. So long life is obedience. Kind of giving us this picture, we obey one thing, he reveals the next thing. We obey that thing and we reveal that next thing and the next thing and the next thing until all the way until we complete all those works that he has for us. That's what long life is. Amen. But notice what happens when someone comes up to something they refuse to do. Now, I've got to be careful because God is very gracious and merciful. But notice this, my son, forget not my law or my instructions, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to you. As we keep obeying God, it opens the door for a longer life. But this is why it's dangerous when we get to things in God that we refuse to obey. This is why the obedient heart matters. Now, here's the good news. God is very merciful. He will, you know, extend our life the best he can. He wants to give us that long life. But folks, the point I'm trying to make here is when we come up against things in God that we refuse to do, now we're going to start stepping on the devil's turf. Disobedience is the devil's turf. Obedience is God's turf. In obedience is length of days, long life, and peace with that long life. You know, you say, well, Pastor, I know people that don't obey God. And they live, you know, to old ages. Well, I'm just here to tell you this, that, you know, someone can live, you know, long, in our opinion, on this earth. But I'll tell you what, they won't have the peace. They won't have the peace like a Christian who's in complete obedience would have. I believe that. I mean, right? Don't you believe that just makes a lot of sense? I truly believe that somebody following Jesus with all their heart, all their days, is going to have greater peace than someone that might even live into an elder year, but they didn't, you know, complete all that God had for them in their life. Are you here? Yes. Long life and peace. Glory to God. And so long life is found in that obedience. Notice this. When someone, you know, comes up to something, you know, that they won't do for God, it's almost as if something is held back. You know, it's almost like grace from God will be impeded or slowed or hindered. I don't believe that this is the only scripture that would imply that. There's many verses in the scripture that Jesus said over there, remember in John, what is it, 14:15 or is it 15:14? You can look it up, 14:15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say, right? Amen. And so, folks, don't ever allow yourself to come up to something that God has for you to do and be disobedient with it. Whether it is something written in the Word of God or something that is spoken to you for the Lord to do, obedience. Your goal in life is not to look over your money. Your goal in life is not to ensure that you get to a certain number. Your goal in life is to look after your obedience. Folks, I'm just going to tell you. Now, it doesn't mean you can't go on to succeed and start businesses and be prosperous that way, you understand? But there's a lot of Christians that they're looking over their obedience in order to make more money. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to find yourself in that boat at all. I'm not spending time. Folks, I don't ever sit down and ever try to figure out how to get more money. Never. I can't say as a pastor for 19 years, I don't think I've ever sat down and it's like, okay, how do we get more money? Whether for the church or personally or like, okay. Now, that doesn't mean opportunities haven't come to me. All right, and you see it and you know what God has for you, and other opportunities weren't God and stayed away from it. But I've never sat down and said, let me get my brain thinking about how I can get my hands on more money. But every single day I watch over, Lord, have I been obedient to you? Every day I'm watching over my obedience. But every day I'm not watching over how do I get more money into my hands. Because you're going to see right here in the Word that what you need as far as long life and provision, it's already built into the obedience. You know, the question, you know, so many times, oh, folks, will you bear with me here a little bit? This is now my number. I believe it's an educated number. As a pastor for 19 years, if I had to put a number on how many Christians have an obedience problem somewhere in their relationship with the Lord, I'd say it's 80% at least. At least. Folks, I will sit down with Christians all the time, and they will tell me, they don't realize they're telling me, and I'm not judging them. I'm trying to help them. See, we got to get the hogs out of the water. Remember Lillian B. Yeomans? You know, was it the healing, the Balm of Gilead? Was that the book that she wrote that in? Anyway, this author, Lillian Yeomans, you can read her book. She's got two books that are fantastic on healing. She was a minister, you know, back probably over 100 years ago. Well, maybe not quite that far back, but almost. And so she was telling the story of how this town, this small farming community, everyone, you know, broke out with some kind of disease. You know, there was this, typhoid fever that had broke out. And no matter what, they just couldn't figure it out. People were just getting sick, staying sick, getting re-sick, all this stuff. Well, someone finally, it dawned on them to go check on the fresh drinking water for the community. And when they got there, they found two carcasses of dead farm hogs were in the water, and the rotting, you know, carcasses were creating bacteria that was polluting their well or whatever it was. And so, you know, what they had to do if they wanted things to get straight, get the hogs out of the water. Well, that's an illustration for that community, but it's an illustration for us. I sit down with Christians all the time, and as I'm talking to them, they will disclose, well, Pastor, you know, I know that I'm not, you know, I'm not tithing, or I know I'm only in church half the time. I could be there more and I'm not, or I know I should forgive that family member, but I'm not. And they seem to be okay, as if there's an acceptable level of disobedience. And see, and I, as a pastor, it's my job to tell them, you've got hogs in the water. See, it's, say, well, they, a lot of times I use this one as an illustration because it comes up all the time. I don't know why Christians, well, I know why, because it's money. And people struggle with money issues and stuff. But a lot of times it is tithing. You know, people will be like, well, I know I'm not tithing, but I'm just doing the best I can. And I say, wait a minute. Do you know that God has told you to tithe? And they'll say, well, yeah, I know that. But you know that, and you're disobeying it anyway? Yeah, yeah. But I'm doing well in all these other areas. You know, and I have to say, well, wait a minute. It's not that it's tithing itself that, you know, God is really concerned about. It's the fact that you know you are to obey God in something and you don't do it. That is the biggest impact, you know, on your life, to know something that God told you to do and not do it. You know, or, you know, I'll sit and I'll talk with Christians all the time and they'll say, well, Pastor, I know God tells me to forgive, but so-and-so, and I mean, I've talked to people where it's been 30, 40 years in their past and they still have a grudge against somebody and they say, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I'm not doing it because they deserve it, X, Y, and Z. And I've got to tell them, you've got hogs in the water. And they're trying to get counseling to get past something in their life. But they're trying to figure out why they can't get past a certain thing. The pastor cannot just pick you up and put you on the other side of that thing. The pastor might just talk to you and counsel you and let you know there's something that you're not obeying God in. You know, it's going to come. You know, God's grace and his mercy will go so far. But if we continue and continue to disobey God, we will come up to a place where we're not going to go any further. Until you get those hogs out of the water. Amen. That's why I'm saying, you know, more than anything, you know, and that's why we read these scriptures down here in verse 13 through 17. You know, more than having gold, more than having wealth, if you have got a pure, tender, obedient heart, you are richer than rich. I believe we got some pure, tender, obedient hearts in this room here tonight. And I'll tell you what, if your heart is just to obey God no matter what, God will look past a million faults to get to somebody with a tender, obedient heart. How do we know that? Because we've got David in the Bible. David is going to be the one during the millennium of Christ, when the world is at peace for 1,000 years after the return of Jesus, he is going to set one person and one person only at the right hand of Christ's throne. Who is that? King David. Have you read about David's life? Have you read about his faults? And actually more than just his faults, but his downright sins? Goodness gracious, I feel like if I did a 1,000th of a one bit of what David did, I'd be struck down. But God looked past David's faults, because that no matter what David did, he always got his heart right with God. He had a heart to obey God. He was urgent to obey God. He was very, very tender to obey God. Amen. Is your heart tender to obey? Or can you sit there and tell another Christian that you have certain things that are acceptable levels of disobedience? There's no acceptable level of disobedience in my life. Not saying that I haven't made mistakes. Have you made mistakes? Yeah. But develop that heart that says it's not okay to openly and knowingly disobey God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so that 80% of Christians, that's my number that I put on it. It's my opinion. I think it probably is more. I see so many believers that become complacent with a level of disobedience in their life, and they have no plans to change it. It becomes acceptable to them. Like I said, many over the years have told me, well, I'm not tithing, but, or I know I should forgive somebody, but, and I just say, whoa, stop right there. If you know there's something that you should be doing, do it. Where is the long life, everybody? It's in the obedience. Where is the wisdom and the provision for all of our lives? It's in the obeying. You know, my goal is to look over my life, not everyone else's, my life, and to see, you know, am I obeying God? Is there anything, Lord, that you've told me to do that I won't do? You know, I told you, you know, I gave you, you know, an example out of my life a couple weeks ago, you know, when I was making videos on YouTube, and it was a hobby, and it was fine and good, and I was getting paid and all that stuff. And the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. In my mind, I was like, oh, but I want to. I'm enjoying this. This is fun. This is my hobby. And the Lord said, well, what do you want to be known for? You want to be known for working on cars? Or do you want to be known as a man of God? I'll tell you what, obedience. Look at. Look at the very last verse of Proverbs chapter 3. I wasn't planning on going here. Look at Proverbs 3:35, and we're just going to get ready to wind this up right here. There's so much of this message. I just gave you a little taste. Verse 35 says, the wise, or we could say it this way, the obedient shall what? Inherit glory. Yes. But shame shall be the promotion of fools. Wow. But look at that first statement, the wise or the obedient, because wisdom and obedience, remember, are linked. You know, wisdom is obedience, obedience is wisdom. The wise shall inherit glory. You don't want to get the glory of the world. You want God's glory on your life. If God tells you to do something, he's got a plan for you. He wants to get something over to you. When there's something that even seems challenging, like forgiving someone who really hurt you, guess what? There's long life in it. You know, or forgiving someone that really, really betrayed you or whatever, guess what? There's provision in that. God has a plan to get to your life. Amen. And so anyway, I just wanted, I know we kind of started off with what the Holy Ghost is. This wasn't the planned service here. But the Lord just, you know, wants us to emphasize obedient heart. Obedient heart. I'll tell you what, the obedient heart now is going to give God the permission to protect us in the future. I'll tell you what, the obedient heart now is going to give God an opportunity, an open door into your life right down the road. And I'm not saying any of you are living any kind of disobedient life. I don't know, meaning, you know, personally. And so the Lord just would have me to stress the obedient heart. The long life that you're looking for is in the obedience. The provision. I'll tell you what, and I'm going to just end right here. I know we're about an hour, 15 minutes into this service, and we're going to wrap it up right here. You know, there's a lot. There is an overabundance of emphasis on money in the body of Christ. There is a true prosperity message in the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, it is the prosperity of God. Did I just close my Bible? Go over. You're in Proverbs. I just want to tease you with this just a little bit. Go over to Proverbs 1:32. This verse just keeps coming back to me. But there is an overemphasis today in the body of Christ about using your faith to get money. I'm here to tell you, it is abused. We're seeing more talk about money than we are seeing talk about saving souls. We're seeing ministries all over the place. They will take up a half hour, 45 minute, you know, offering, and then you never hear one salvation call. There's a problem with this. There's a problem. I don't remember one time in the Great Commission where Jesus ever said to go out and make sure that you lay hold of all the money. Listen, if you will just simply obey what God tells you to do, if you will learn to obey first His word, second His spirit when He talks directly to you, all the provision you will ever need in this life, you won't have to go find it. It will come and find you. Say, Pastor, how often do you pray about money? Never. Never. Say, oh, Pastor, you must have just been born with it then. No, I was born and raised in about an 850 square foot house. There was four of us kids, shared bedrooms. We didn't have very much, very tiny place. The house that I grew up in was built in 3 days. All right, they were called the three-day houses up there on the south side, up in what they call Swedish Hill, Hebner Heights area. I grew up over there, and it wasn't a bad neighborhood or something like that. It just wasn't very prosperous, you know, I'll just say that. But, you know, as a believer, I don't sit around, you know, I don't sit around, you know, talking to God about money. I'll say, Father, I thank you, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Father, if we're being obedient, you have a responsibility to take care of this church. If you're being obedient to Him and faithful to Him as a believer, He has a responsibility to care for you. If you're sitting there having to go like, oh, Lord, I need the money for this. I need the money for that. I need the money for this. I need the money for this. Probably you've overextended yourself. Yep. I need the money for this. I need the money for this. I need the money for this. Oh, Lord, if you're going before God, wringing your hands, worried about every little bill, I'm here to tell you, that's not exactly how God works. And if you've been, you know, watching, you know, ministries that are always telling you, reach out and take what's yours, claim what's yours, going after all the money, I'm here to tell you, you're going to get deceived. It's a lie, by the way. It's a lie. That doesn't mean that every minister that has that doctrine, everything is wrong with them. Don't misunderstand me. But I see Christians all the time. They're so convinced, they're so preoccupied. The devil will laugh himself all the way to the end of this age with Christians that are so preoccupied with money. Yep. Instead of they're claiming money. We should be claiming souls. Yes. We should be reaching out to the community around every church. Yeah. And believing that men, women, and children come out of the darkness and come into the light. I don't care, you know, what a ministry is. I don't care, you know, what section of Christianity they come from. If they're out winning souls, I'm for them. I'm for them. Praise the Lord. Whether they, you know, have all of our doctrine or not, if they're out getting people born again, I'm all for them. As opposed, I'd rather see a ministry that doesn't have all of the Pentecostal beliefs, but they're getting souls saved. Or if you have a Pentecostal ministry over here that never even gives an altar call, I'm going to go with the one that gives the altar call. Every single time. I know. But the more and more I watch and more I see, I'm thinking, something ain't right here. Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel to every living creature. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that believe not shall be condemned. I never saw anything in the Great Commission that ever told Christians to go out and just claim all the goodies they can in this life. Nothing wrong with having nice things, by the way. But I'm just saying, you know, instead of going before God and talk about money, say, Father, you're my provider. You said if I would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, all these things would be added to me. I've never once prayed or asked God for something nice in my life. Never once. Any of the blessings, they're just the result of just following God. And guess what? When we're following the Lord, anything that comes into our life really isn't ours. We're just a steward of it. There's things that came into my life that I thought, oh, praise the Lord. God said, yeah, good, now give it away. Yeah. You know, or cash it out and give the money or whatever it is. You know, but so many Christians are just, you know, lopsided with that. All the provision, the point I'm making here, the provision is simply in the obedience. And if you're talking so much to God about money, you don't know him. Woo. God would rather have us come to him and say, you're my provider. I don't even have to think about money. I don't even have to think about it. What God must think when someone comes to him who's not praying in faith, what they're really doing is praying in worry and in greed about money. And he must be just sitting there thinking, have I not told you that all the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Have I not told you that if you would just obey me, all the provision that you've ever needed will just come to you? It'll show up. The goal isn't to see where financial doors open. The goal is to obey God. The goal isn't to put a long life number on it. The goal is to finish every work that he's given for us. That's prosperity. Prosperity is when you can come to the Lord and say, I've finished my course. Hey, you know, praise God. God does equip people with financial blessing to be a blessing. You know, but I tell you what, I hear it way too much on the lips of believers. Obey God. Obey him. Say, well, Pastor, I'm having financial problems. Are you tithing? Well, No. Obey God first. Obey God first. Say, well, Pastor, it's going to make my life harder to obey God. Yeah, but in the long run, it'll make it way easier. Have the obedient heart. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. All the provision we need in this life is found in the obedience.